Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Whether it's safety recalls of vehicles or lemon laws, the Center for Auto Safety has been in the forefront of addressing these issues. My guest today is Clarence Ditlow. He is the executive director of the Center for Auto Safety. We're going to talk about a lot of issues. And Clarence, it's so nice to see you again. We've done interviews over the years with you, followed the things that you've been involved in, and I have to say, you're right on top of many of these issues.
Well, thank you.
Now, let's talk about my favorite subject, recalls, because I'm always harping on the fact that people don't take their vehicles back. I just had a recall on my car. It was nothing serious. I took it back, had it fixed. It takes a little time, doesn't cost you anything. You should have it done. Mine was not really, it was kind of a safety issue, but not really. But are we seeing real compliance with consumers? I mean, I know that in areas other than automobiles, that the compliance rate is pretty low. I think automobiles have a higher compliance rate, but just being higher is not better, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, the recall rate on cars is somewhere between 65 and 70%, and it should be 100%.
Yeah, because if you're talking about safety issues, you know, we had a consumer who contacted us that he had purchased a used vehicle, and he didn't learn until after the vehicle had a blowout on the beltway that the tires had been recalled that was on that vehicle. So really, you kind of got to go from head to toe when you're buying a used car to see if the recall calls have been met.
That's absolutely right. And check the vehicle identification number with the manufacturer and ask, is there an outstanding safety recall? Because so many used cars today are sold with outstanding recalls, and that one defect may cost you your life. And we've had consumer after consumer tell us, well, geez, within the first month of buying a used car, I had a problem, and it was subject to a recall. Mm-hmm. I never knew.
Is it easy for consumers to find out this information?
It is easy if you contact the manufacturer. I mean, they're happy to have you contact them, because if you don't and there's a crash, there may be a product liability lawsuit.
Right.
But it's going to get a lot easier because Congress just passed a law requiring the Department of Transportation to put on its website a recall checker where you can enter your VIN and see if there's an outstanding recall.
I thought that information was available. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration had information on recalls.
They have information on recalls broadly. In other words, they'll tell you if your 1999 X-mobile is subject to a recall broadly, but they won't tell you if that specific vehicle has been repaired under that campaign.
Which is what you want to know.
That's what you want to
right.
know.
Right. Okay. So the manufacturer then, of course, is going to be the one that has the records of whether or not you've complied.
That's
or the previous owner has complied.
That's right. Their computers.
Is there some place within, is this law going to make it easy for us to get in touch with manufacturers? You know how it is when you try to call people. Calling companies can drive you crazy, Clarence.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it can drive you right around the bend.
Well, it won't make it any easier to get hold of the manufacturer, but you will have a little bit more evidence to say, I have an outstanding recall and I want it fixed today.
Well, is there any possibility that there could be a database set up that you would allow you put the VIN number in and just go online and check to see if it's had recalls? Of course, that's a big job, isn't it?
It is, but that's exactly what Congress told the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to do. And sometime at this time next year, you'll be able to do that.
Ah, okay. So that's wonderful. That's such useful information to consumers, because the stories you've heard and the stories I've heard, it can be bad things happen if you don't know this. What I had recommended previously to consumers is that if you're buying a used car, go to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, check and see if it's been subject to a recall, and then ask the place where you're buying it if they can give you that information. Does that still work? Can you still
That still works.
Okay.
The place where you're buying it, though, if it's an independent used car dealer or a private owner, they won't have that information.
Yeah.
But if it's a franchise dealer, absolutely.
They would have it. They'd be able to tell you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that to me is, this is a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal to comply with recalls. And, you know, everybody who's listening to us should make sure that they have complied with their recalls. You don't want to be out there in a highway and suddenly discover that your car is not in compliance and you're going to pay for it. I'll tell you, one of the interesting mm-hmm. things that we've been hearing, Clarence, and I don't know if you hear about this from consumers or not, is the fact that we no longer have, many cars no longer have spare tires.
I know.
Uh-huh.
Even my car, it has an inflator on it, which does not work if the tire comes off the wheel.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary because we had a case of a woman who was downtown and she had a flat tire and called the tow truck and they weren't able to do anything because the car was so badly damaged and the tire, and she didn't have a spare tire. Now, many of them are just those little
donuts.
But that's
right.
Okay. Yeah. That will get you to where you need to go. You know, one of the things I tell people when they're taking a road trip, just to make sure they know what's in the trunk.
That's right.
You know, do we ever check that? I mean, I did because because of what I do, I know what's in the trunk of my car. But do people check that? Do they ask that? And I don't know that it's even disclosed when you're buying a car.
No, and it's not really. It's disclosed in the sense that it's in the fine print somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but it's not up front. And no, I've yet to see the consumer opens the trunk and looks at the spare tire when they're buying a new car.
There's no tire.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
You know, and on a related subject, even rental cars, they may not have a spare tire at all. And we had a consumer contact us who was driving from Washington to Florida and had a flat tire. Went to change it, and there was no tire.
Look at that. Yeah. Well, you know, I understand that part of the reason, I'm sure cost was it, but also that it lightened the weight of the vehicle and that this does allow you to get around. But there's supposed to be some kind of a kit, but that will inflate your old tire and get you to a service station. But if it's a badly damaged tire, it's not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not.
Mm. So if you've hit that big pothole, and phew, that's not going to help you at all. Well, that to me was very interesting when I heard from people telling me about this, that there was no spare tire in my new car. So you need to check it. Actually, you need to check that when you're going on a trip, especially, I think. So, okay, moving along here. That should be a question, though, just to go back to that for a minute. That should be a question you ask when you're buying a car, new or used, I would think. So anyway, we're going to take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Clarence Ditlow. He's the Executive Director of the Center for Auto Safety, and we're talking about various issues related to your vehicles. And we all have vehicles, most of us anyway. Clarence, let's go back and talk about one of the things you and I were talking about before we started the program. And that was big trucks on the highway, accident rates, and the new safety features that are being built into these trucks. Tell me about it.
That's right. Well, every year, there's nearly 2,000 fatal crashes where a big truck hits the back of another vehicle. And the number of fatalities is about 2,000, and almost always in the car. And it's because the driver may not be paying attention, may not put the brakes on quickly enough, but we're going to have advanced collision braking where the vehicle itself has a radar that senses that there's another vehicle ahead
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and says, you're going too fast, apply the brakes. If you don't do it, the big truck will do it for you.
Isn't that amazing?
It's true. I've seen videos of this.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely wonderful, and you cannot get it on a big truck soon enough.
Mm-hmm. But in defense of truckers, people driving passenger cars pull in front of them, do stupid things. You shouldn't do that either.
No, absolutely
not. You know,
not.
It's not always the trucker's fault if there's an accident.
What you have to recognize is that big truck, because of its weight, is not as maneuverable as your car.
That's right.
So don't cut them off.
And if it hits you, it's going to be the winner.
Every time.
But this, of course, too, can help drivers with fatigue or moments distraction, anything can lead to an accident. And something like this, and where are we in reality in terms of getting these systems in trucks?
No, we're going to see it on big trucks within the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's not here today. Technology's here, but it's just not in the big truck.
Right.
And we'll have another one of these regulatory battles where they'll say, well, it costs too much or we need more lead time. Mm-hmm. But it's not a question of whether we're going to do it. It's when we're going to do
it. Well, I would think from the trucking company's viewpoint, it would save them on insurance.
Oh, it will.
Because it's going to certainly reduce the number of accidents. And that would, to me, should lessen some of the impact of doing this.
It will. I mean, too many of these battles, people look at the initial cost, not the long-term cost. Mm-hmm. You know, because the initial cost may be a couple $1,000s, but over time, your insurance premium goes down, mm-hmm. you get in fewer crashes, the vehicle's on the road longer.
Yeah,
so it's
true.
A winner.
That's true. Yes, you do have to take a long range look at some of these innovative devices that are going to drive up prices. Mm. But what is the gain ultimately? I think is, and you're putting that very well. Okay, what about? I'm almost hesitant to say this. Cars that drive themselves, Clarence. Put on your forward looking cap and tell me, are we going to see this? They scare me, the thought of it.
Well, I must admit, even I'm a little scared about this. But yes, we are going to see them. And yes, there will be some bugs in the first one. So you got to watch out that car may not have a driver, but it may have a computer, but that computer can make a mistake.
Yes, we know that computers make mistakes. Yes, indeed, especially if there's a glitch in the program. Mm. But do you think that's really is something that's going to come in the near future? See, now I can see how it might be nice to have something that would assist you in driving. I'm not sure I would want to relinquish control. Maybe I'm too much of a control freak. But this would be a vehicle that totally drives itself.
That's right. You plug in your destination, and it will drive itself to that destination.
Now,
some manufacturers are driving or selling a vehicle that you stop in front of a parking lot and tell that car to park itself in a particular location, and it will go right on off and park itself.
Not a bad idea.
No, it's not. It's not.
Actually, I'm pretty good at parking.
Parking is a tough job for most consumers. But I sort of worry, what if a little dog is in front of the car? Is it going to see it? I don't know.
And what if I don't describe the parking place properly?
No.
Oh, it makes for very interesting living. Yeah, it is a little bit of science fiction feel to it. Mm. But,
It's one thing, sure. I mean, we're not talking within the next 10 years in this, but maybe 20. And the new generation that's growing up is a lot more used to electronics and doing things
being
for you.
Being in charge of electronics, taking care of us in many, many ways. Programming electronically, programming your house from a distance, turning on the lights, whatever, you know, recording TV programs. It's amazing what you can do now. And
I just
got a top of that little list. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I really am looking forward to in the near future is more electronics for safety in cars.
Oh, yes. Because, tell us about some of those.
Okay. Well, the one that I really like is the backup camera. Because it will help you back up into a tight parking spot. It will, if there's a small child in the driveway, you can see it. It will give you a warning. I mean, this is something that there's a proposed rule on that we expect to be mandated within the next year. But those things, anyone who has one of those, they're going to like them.
I love it. I have one. I bought, after 11 years, I finally bought a new vehicle last year. And it has all the bells and whistles. Actually, it kind of came almost standard on my vehicle. It wasn't something that was extra. It was included. And I just think it's absolutely extraordinary because what it allows me to do is to make sure that there's no little thing, as you say. And, you know, especially in grocery store parking lots, I am appalled at the number of people that will walk behind a vehicle that's moving out of a parking space.
That's
Don't they
right.
see it? They'll have a child with them or their child's running through the lot. You know, we can be very dumb at times, Clarence.
Oh, we certainly can. And you never know what if the driver doesn't see you, they're going to run over you.
That's right. But with my vehicle, I'm going to hear it before I hit it.
That's right. So, good for you.
Anyway, but it is a comfort factor. But but honestly, I think, you know, parking lots are the dangerous place, especially grocery store parking lots. What is it about it that we want to get in the grocery store and get home? I don't know, but people are and talk on cell phones and walking. I can barely walk myself without talking. Anyway, let's take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Clarence Ditlow. He's the executive director of the Center for Auto Safety. We're just talking about some of the fun and safety devices that are down the road for drivers. And, you know, it really is fascinating how technology has changed so much, just like us talking about the backup cameras. I, some years ago, was driving a rental car out in California and started to back out of a parking space where I had pulled in. At that point, I had not backed the rental car up. It started beeping, and I thought, what in the world is going on? Well, it turned out it had a sensor. It didn't have a camera, but it had a sensor that told me if I was near anything. Scared the living daylights out of me, Clarence. I didn't know what in the world was going on. But I will tell you, I began to appreciate it after I'd driven the car for a few days. Took a little getting used to, but nevertheless, it you know, it can save you from being in serious accidents or harming someone else.
That's right. Or doing $1,500 worth of damage to the back of your car because you didn't see that little foot-high post.
That's right. It is really, truly amazing. Any other great things that are coming down the road that you see in terms of development?
Oh, there's many. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing that's lane departure or blind spot detection. It will, if you think of how many times where you go to pull into another lane and there's someone in your blind spot and you just didn't see them. Well, there'll be a camera there that sees it, warns you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're out of your lane, it can actually bring you back into your lane.
That's particularly important driving at high speeds on the highways.
Oh, it really is.
My rearview mirror has a little tiny mirror that's set into it that's called a blind spot detector, and it shows a little bit different part of the side so that I do have two views of what's beside me. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I've never seen it before.
It is. You're going to see more of that. They take a little bit of getting used to.
They do. You have to learn to look at them and understand them and process it. But yeah, I just think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. And overall, I mean, the improvements we've put into cars in the last 20 years, I mean, they're much, much better. Look at an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Its death rate now is lower than a sedan because it doesn't roll over because it has electronic stability control and side curtain airbags.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the number of deaths on our highways were at the lowest number since 1949.
That's awesome. And the number of cars, now is that per car or is that
No,
per,
that's absolute.
That's an absolute figure. Oh, that's even more astonishing.
We have like three or four times as many cars today as we did in 1949.
Yes.
At the very least. And the death rate is down to something like 20% of what it was in 1949.
That's amazing. Oh, that is a wonderful trend. Yeah, absolutely wonderful.
If there's a success story in America, it's vehicle safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do better.
And they look nice and they drive nice. And, you know, I love my new vehicle.
But they still put a dent in your pocketbook.
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, I'm afraid so. But I drive a vehicle forever. So I haven't had a whole big lot of new cars in my lifetime. Because if I find a vehicle I like and it works well, why get rid of it? You know, my philosophy is I know it. I know what has been done to it. So keep it, drive it, love it, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, car buyers, the sellers don't want to hear me saying that. Any other major issues that you see with vehicles? We've talked about recalls, the new safety features, and that sort of thing. What are some of the things that you see coming up? Of course, gas mileage is always a question. I don't know how far we've gotten. I guess there is a point of no return on that where you just can't get a vehicle to drive with any more economy.
We still have some room to go there. But cars are much more fuel efficient than they used to be. What we're going to see is more tech. You're not going to see a car get significantly smaller. What you're going to see is better engines put in cars. We're going to see more hybrids. We're going to see more electric vehicles on the road. So that's a big plus. And then we continue to have things. One of the things that consumers, you know, don't realize is also success is cars are more reliable. We put lemon laws in cars in every state beginning in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And today, there are far fewer lemons produced and bought back. And these lemon laws really work.
They do work. Yes, they do. I know. You know, that's interesting because I was going to ask you about lemon laws and what the changes are. So what you're really seeing is that we really have to use those laws much less frequently than we used to. I suspect too that manufacturers, if the car really is a lemon, they're willing to. You don't have to go through the process.
That's right. I mean, if it,
they know it's going to be inevitable, so just get rid of it.
Yeah, and the manufacturers are much more sophisticated now. Mm-hmm. They realize that if they stonewall you and you hire a lawyer, bring a lemon lawsuit, it's going
nobody
to cost
wins.
Them. Nobody wins.
Nobody wins.
And they realize now too that if you make the cars better, you don't have to buy back as many.
That problem. That's right. You just eliminated one of your major headaches. Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing, though, that still is out there is all these storm-damaged cars.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
That's something that consumers have to be wary about.
I actually just did a program on that last week with Chris Basso from Carfax, and we were talking about it. There is a real safety issue.
That's right.
Because if it's flood damaged and you don't know it and you're driving it, the whole thing can fail.
Mm.
The electrical system, whatever.
That's right.
Brakes.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. You know, I would like, and I would say one thing to consider. There's some rules that never change. And what we suggest to consumers, you know, years ago, we still suggest never buy a brand new car in the first year of production because it's more likely to have some bugs in it.
Mm-hmm.
So let somebody else test drive it for you. Buy it the second year.
I take one exception to that. I bought my Mercury Sable first year it came out and loved it.
Loved it.
And loved it.
There are exceptions to the rule.
For many, many, many years, yes. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I think overall, if I hadn't fallen in love with it, I probably would have had more sense than to do it, Clarence. But you know how it is. You know a woman in her car.
Right. And a man in his car.
That's exactly right. How can people get in touch with you?
they can go to our website, which is autosafety.org. That's the best. Or just call us at 202-328-7700.
And you've got some wonderful information on your website, a whole host of things. You've got a section on lemon laws, I know, which maybe we don't have to use anymore. You've got a section on recalls. Mm. You've got a whole section on press releases and things that you all have been working on lately. What am I missing there?
Oh, we have a lot of information that's vehicle specific on recalls, mm-hmm. on coming regulations and rulemaking. Fuel economy, you know, just you name it, we have it, and it's user-friendly.
Right. It really is, Clarence. Mm. You all have done a wonderful job. It's been a treat to me to follow the progress that you all have made and the ways that you've improved our whole motor vehicle industry for safety for all of us. So we thank you. We thank you for listening to us. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest has been Clarence Ditlow, Executive Director of the Center for Auto Safety. And that website is autosafety.org. They've got a ton of information there. And I'm Shirley Rooker, and we thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.